Good morning, dear friends. What a thrilling morning this is. I'm just so excited. I just wish I could be here next Sunday to find out who's going to be named as our candidate. Unfortunately, I leave Thursday for Israel and am gone for 2 weeks. But while the cat's away, the congregation is going to pray. And I'm going to pray with you. I have been, and I'm just so excited about what's in the works that God has planned, and may we all join with God in what He's up to. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 12 once again. We are considering a series of messages in this amazing chapter, which I like to call Christ's Lordship. And we find Christ's lordship of so many things. In verse 1, Christ's lordship of our bodies. In verse 2, Christ's lordship of our minds. In verse 3, Christ's lordship of how we understand who we are. Our own self-esteem, as somebody says. But it's Christ's esteem, and we now fall before Him in worship and praise and live a life of Christ's lordship. And the next verses 4 through 8 talk about Christ's lordship of our giftedness. In verse 9, we discovered a couple of weeks ago Christ's lordship of our love. Now, today, I want you to look with me at verse 11, Christ's lordship of my energies. Now, you'll notice that I've put about three different translations here on the screen. The King James Version says it this way, so beautifully, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Does that sound like energy? And the New American Standard Bible says, not lagging behind in diligence. Again, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The New Living Translation says it this way, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. And that's what God wants of every one of us. Now, speaking of this message, Christ's lordship of my energies, usually a pastor preaches and then he gives an illustration of what that means. This morning, we've had the illustration before the message. As I listened to the report that Daryl, you gave of all the energies that you're pastoral search committee has gone through, that is energy. But energy from above, and wisely governed by the Holy Spirit. And to our elders and deacons, thank you for all the energies you have been putting into this to bring us to the point where next week a candidate will be announced to you as the pastor for this church here at Temple in what God is doing so marvelously. And you can understand why I'm so excited about this. And now I'm so grateful that as a congregation, many of you are putting prayer energy into, oh God, bring us the man of your choice. And so there's the illustration. I guess we can close. You ready? But do you mind if you take that little sheet in your bulletin, where you can write down some notes as we think about Christ's lordship of my energies? And notice this next slide. The main idea in this scripture is this. I am responsible to use all my energies to serve the Lord. Why? Because Christ has lordship rights of all my energies. It was 39 years ago, when most of you were not even born yet, when I first came to this city of Cambridge, the year in which its name had been changed from officially three different cities to one city, Cambridge. And there was a group of men in this city who were part of what was called and is called the CBMC, the Christian Businessmen's Committee. Some of you will recall that wonderful group of workers who put energy into sharing the gospel in practical ways in this community. And they had invited our pastor, evangelistic team to come and lead in an evangelistic thrust throughout as the first such thrust in the new city of Cambridge 39 years ago, 1973. Some of you may remember, and maybe you attended the meetings that were held in the auditorium at the Galt Collegiate Institute. How many of you remember that? I see a few hands here. And the theme of the Christian Businessmen's, the CBMC, all across Canada and around the world, many groups like this, their theme is actually this verse. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Since they were businessmen, and that's the way the good old King James translated that, not slothful in business or diligent in business, and fervent in spirit and serving the Lord. And so it was such a delight to team up with those men and their wives and with the whole community here in a number of churches that came together to share the gospel with Cambridge. Well, I want you to think with me about how this relates to all of us. And the first thing I'd like you to see from this verse is the source of my energies. Where does it come from? It's from God. He's the one who gives us the energy to do what we need to do in praising the Lord. We sometimes say about somebody, I don't know where he gets all his energy. Maybe you've said that about your grandkids. I have some like that. I've got 5 granddaughters and 9 grandkids, and it's amazing the energy that little kids have. But when we say to a little child, we see he starts to squirm in church, and we say, stop. But God says, move. God made him to move, and the energy's there. But God is the source of all the energy in the world, including your energy. And the energizer is not a battery that causes one toy to outlast others. The energizer is God himself. He is all-powerful. I love to hear the Hallelujah chorus sung. And it comes to that part where it says, For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Omnipotent, what does that mean? Potent means powerful, energy. Omni means all. God has all power. He is omnipotent. Can you say that word with me? Omnipotent. All powerful. All energy belongs to him. We read in Colossians 1, verse 16, by him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. And not only does God have all energy, he is the one who gives me my energy. Every breath is a gift from him. Every heartbeat is a gift from God. It's interesting how God made the sun, which gives energy to the world. A campfire, it's fun to sit around a campfire, but do you realize the energy you feel from that heat as those logs burn actually was originally sun's energy that came from the sun, got absorbed as those plants and those trees grew and made wood. And so that's a tree is just a whole bunch of stored up energy. And everything that God made is just so full of energy. A candle is that is really power from the sun. Fossil fuel, the thing that makes your car go if you're using gasoline, is actually energy that originally came from the sun. And not just the physical sun, but the Son of God who made the sun, he's the originator of all these energies. In fact, every one of you is a solar-powered person. And what you eat, the food that you have, was made as a result of the energy that God gave from the sun. bodybuilding magazines. As I watched my boys growing up, they wanted to get some muscles on them. And I did see a few bodybuilding magazines in my house as the guys were growing up. And but, you know, brawny muscles are no cause for pride. One day, each of those bodies pictured in those magazines will lie as a dead corpse in a coffin. And these energies that we have are only now, but then they soon fade away. When I was pursuing my degree with an English major, as an English major in Christian University, I remember reading Thomas Gray's elegy written in a country churchyard, and he says this: "The boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, and all that beauty, all that wealth e'er gave, await alike the inevitable hour. The paths of glory lead but to the grave." And the energies that we have will soon fade away, but the giver of that energy, I'm glad to tell you, will never fade away. I want you to see something else here in this text. The expression of my energies is multiple. There are many different ways in which this energy that God has given me can be shown. Certainly, one way is physical. I have physical energy. And you'll see that on the screen. There it is. I have physical energy. I know it varies. We start out helpless and we end helpless. It was wonderful to see a precious little baby just 9 weeks old over here. And now it's, I don't know where the baby went. I guess it's gone out. But mommy took it away. But little babies are so helpless. It's interesting that, have you ever been on a farm? Some of you are farmers. Maybe you've seen the birth of maybe a calf or a baby goat or a baby sheep. And they're born, and all of a sudden they're starting to walk around. But when it comes to us, babies, human babies, they are just totally helpless. I think God did that on purpose to make sure that parents would give loving care to that little one and give it time to develop its energies. But just this past week, well, the past several weeks, I have been watching a dear woman from our congregation at Benton, and her name is Veronica Lazar. And her daughter is married to our son, Paul. And now for the last 5 months, as cancer has set into her body, she's just gotten weaker and weaker and weaker. And Adrian and I were with her on Thursday afternoon over here at the Freeport Hospital in the palliative care, as our daughter-in-law and her sister and brother and their father, the husband of this dear lady, were there. And about 2 hours after we left, she breathed her last. And this afternoon at 1:30, I'm conducting that funeral service at Benton Street Baptist Church. That woman touched the lives of so many. During these last 5 months, 336 different people came to her bedside to visit her, many on a number of occasions. And she touched, because she's of the Romanian community, having come over from Europe a number of years ago, that whole Romanian community is part of this action, plus our own home church family. Plus she had connected with the Jewish community in a wonderful way in sharing the gospel with Jewish people. And we're going to have a number of Jewish people in that funeral this afternoon. And they expect about 400 people will be in that service. But what I'm saying here is this. We all start out weak. God gives us strength. And we end weak. The Bible says that We just end with a moan. But where does this energy come from? The expression of my energies is multiple. First of all, I have physical energy, but that physical energy doesn't last forever. There's another kind of energy that you have, and that is intellectual energy, to be able to think. Now, if you have a computer, you know you have to have it plugged in. It's got to have some power to make it work. Did you realize that your brain, which is a computer, takes power for it to work? And it is, and it's energy. It takes energy to think and to operate that mental computer. Studying is work. By the way, praying is work. And we've been doing a lot of praying as a congregation for a number of things, and especially the call of the pastor of God's choice here. And let's face it, that's work. It takes mental energy to just give yourself to praying specifically for those things that God has laid upon your heart. There's another kind of energy you have. We can call it verbal energy, to be able to speak. I understand that in the contest of speaking, women win. Somebody said that on average, there's been tests made on this, that women speak about 30,000 words a day on average. We men only speak about half of that, about 15,000 words a day. But we all have verbal energy. There's another kind of energy that you have, material energy. That is the things that you've accumulated, whether it be clothing, car, house, toys, all the things of life. In fact, your bank account or your pocketbook demonstrates something of the energy that God has given you. You have worked to earn and to have. And so you have material energy, financial energy. In fact, this morning, as the offering plates were passed, you put energy into those plates. But I want you to see something else. And this is very important to understand. You also have sexual energy. It's important to say this because this kind of energy is being so misused in our society today. I turn in my Bible to Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15. Let's begin with verse 15. Proverbs chapter 5. The book of Proverbs has an awful lot to say about sexual energies. But let me just read this part. Here, the writer of the book of Proverbs is talking to his son in particular. He says, "Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad and streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner?" And it goes on to tell us here how important it is that the sexual energies that God has given to each of us be exercised only in the context of the intimacy of the marriage of one woman to one man. Make sure that that's true in your life. To all of our young people here, may I encourage you to remember that all of your energies, including your sexual energies, God has given to you, and to be under the Holy Spirit's control in such a way that you will not violate the commitment that you either have made as a married person or someday will make as a person that will identify with a spouse that will become your husband or your wife. May God help you to not mess that up. And may you recognize, if you're unmarried, when I was a teenager and I was about 16, the Lord impressed upon me to begin praying for the person that I would marry. And I said, Lord, I probably don't know who that person is. Maybe I've never met that person yet. And it turned out I never had for some years later. But I said, Lord, probably that person is alive someplace on planet Earth right now. unless I marry somebody that's a lot younger than I. And so, Lord, I want to pray right now for that person, whoever it is. You know who it is. Would you keep your hand on that young woman? Help her to, if she doesn't know the Lord yet, bring her to Jesus Christ and help her to grow strong in the Lord. And while you're strengthening her to become my wife, would you help me, Lord, to become the man that I ought to be and to give myself then solely to protect myself solely in my sexual energies so that I don't dissipate them in various places, like it said, don't let them spill out on the streets. Save them as a gift for the one that you will marry. Sexual energies. But then also I want to say this, you also have spiritual energy and prayer power. Did you know that somebody said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees? And may the Lord help you to use spiritual energy, not only in prayer, but also in the whole matter of governing all of your energies to bring glory to the Lord and to be witness to a dying world that needs to hear the gospel. So you've seen this now. The source of my energies is God. The expression of my energies is multiple. But the purpose of my energies, what is it? God's given you energy to serve the Lord. As it says in our text, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be hot for God. As 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Use all of your energies for His glory. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, bringing honor and glory to Him. This matter of spiritual fervor that you see here, a fervent in spirit. That the Greek word zeontes means to boil. And may you just be boiling with the energy that God gives to bring glory to the Lord. The purpose of my energies is to serve the Lord. We read in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for man. So why is it that you have a job? Many of you have jobs. I hope you do. If you're a student, that's your job, to study well. If you have employment someplace, it's your job to do well in what you do. And as a result, you bring glory to God. This dear woman whose funeral I'll have this afternoon worked for the Kaufman Shoe Company in Kitchener for a number of years. And she was on a machine, a sewing machine to make shoes. And as piecework, it was important that you had to produce a certain goal. And she was very diligent in what she did. However, there were occasions when fellow workers were put to shame because of how she was producing so well, and they would rather be laggards and just go a little easy. And as a result, on occasion, her sewing machine was sabotaged by other workers to just break it down so she'd have to slow down. But she didn't fuss. She knew that that her testimony for Jesus was at stake here. And And as a result, she just kept on doing her best always. May God help every one of us to do our best in whatever job God has given to us. I want you to notice this also. The potential of my energies, oh, what is that potential? It's either good or bad. It can go either way. The bad use of energy, laziness, or laziness or misuse, to not use it properly. The Bible has a lot to say about laziness. Non-use is sloth. It's one of the seven deadly sins. Idleness, laziness. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, he says, and to work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and that you will not be dependent on anybody. Good counsel, isn't it? And in the 2 Thessalonians, you see, the church in Thessalonians, they knew that the Lord was going to be coming soon. They were looking forward to that, and some of them said, well, I'm just going to wait till he comes. And Paul said, listen, until he comes, get busy and use all of your energies to honor the Lord. And he had to send a second letter to them, 2 Thessalonians, in which he had to say, hey, you guys, you're still not with it. Get moving. Use your energies for the Lord. So he says in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, we hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, but they are busybodies. He says, such people we command and urge in the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brother, never tire of doing what is right. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. And so Paul is saying we need to encourage each other to do our best in the place of employment where we are. God help us to do that. There are some Old Testament examples of people who misused their energies. I think, for instance, of Samson. I've just been reading through the book of Judges recently, and oh my, Samson just, what energy he had. The strongest man in the world. God gave him unusual energy, and yet he misused that energy. I think of the prodigal son that the apostle, that Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 15, who took his inheritance and went off to a far country and squandered it. He misused the energies that God had given him. Now, I'm so glad that the story doesn't stop there. It talks about how he repented when he was in that pig pen eating pig's food. And he said, hey, the servants in my father's house have it much better than I've got it here. I'd like to go back home and ask my dad if I can just become a servant in his house. It may be that some of us here say, maybe have regrets. Boy, I have misused some of my energies in the past. I've got good news for you. You can come home today. God the Father is welcoming you. And I'd like to welcome you as we come to the close of this message today to come to Jesus, receive the forgiveness that he gives, and from now on, let all of the energies that God has given you be used for his glory. I want you to go with me just a little farther here. The good use of my God-given energies, oh, I think of Joseph, my, how he used his energies when he could have fallen off and messed up his life in sexual promiscuity and all the rest. I think of the Apostle Paul, who had used his energies in a wrong way to go against God's people, and then when he met Jesus, that makes all the difference, doesn't it? Have you met Jesus? Paul met Jesus, and it changed his life, and he began to use all of his energies to serve the Lord. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, he says, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that I can serve the Lord and not to mess up. May the Lord help all of us to be in training to use all of our energies for the Lord. The Olympics are coming up this summer in London, England, and every once in a while, almost every day, we see stories about people who are now in training to get ready for that. May I encourage all of us, we are in training right now for using all of the energies God has given to us to praise the Lord. And speaking of our mental energies, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, I take captive every thought to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to see also finally, the control of my energies belongs to God. He's the one who should be the master controller. He has energy rights. Some years ago, when we were ministering out in Alberta, Ken Campbell and I had the privilege of meeting the then premier of Saskatchewan, Premier Manning. And what a wonderful, godly man he was. It was the father of Pastor Ernest Kennedy. Some of you know him. His father, Orvis Kennedy, was a close associate to Premier Manning, Ernest Manning, and he introduced us to him. But Premier Manning, in the years that he was Premier of Alberta, over 25 years, he brought in laws that reserved the mineral rights for the whole people of the province of Alberta. Now, you could buy the land, and you could farm the crops on it, but the mineral rights below belong to the province. And as a result, for all these years, they've not had a sales tax and minimal debt and a great big heritage fund because they have recognized those rights to belong to all the people. Now, I want you to know that about your energy, God has energy rights to all of your energies. And may we acknowledge that. The question is not how much energy do I have, but who's controlling the energy that I have. You may feel very weak physically, or you may feel very strong, but whatever there is there, who does it belong to? It belongs to God. And how blessed you are when you give that energy to the Lord. There is little, by the way, there's a song that says, little is much when God is in it. And the little energy you may have can be used in a mighty way to bless people and bring honor to the Lord if we give that energy to the Lord. Well, Jim Reese, it's time to shut up here and close. But I do want to say one more thing. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Do you feel weak this morning? Or do you feel strong? No matter what, give what strength you have to the Lord and make Him Lord of your energies. This is a final slide here that I'd like you to see, which is a poem. And here it is. And I'd like to consider as Christ's lordship of my energies. I won't sing this, but these are the words just before our praise team comes. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my ransomed powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours, let my hands perform His bidding, let my feet run in His ways, let my eyes see Jesus only, let my lips speak forth His praise. Amen? May that be true for us as we conclude.